Judy, thanks so much for joining us at the Out Agenda.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited. This is my promoting my play. This is the first gay interview. So I'm really happy about that.
Oh, is it really?
Or as my grandmother would say, the first homosexual interview.
Homosexual?
That's what she called it.
First, before we talk about your play, we should talk a little bit about you. You do so much. I didn't realize how much you did. I didn't know you were a magician. You're a motivational speaker, and I just think it's wonderful that you do a bunch of things. You have different hats, as they say.
Yeah, I'm just, I've always been very fortunate to make a living from my ideas ever since I was a kid. And I started as a kid, I was a magician. And I got to tell you, I mean, I grew up in Los Angeles and I was working the birthday party circuit like you wouldn't believe. And people would always say, well, what are you going to do when you grow up? And you're going to be this? And I went, no, I'm going to be an adult. Right? You have this idea that you're going to grow up and, you know, be unhappy and do things you don't want to do. And for me, I've always been able to make a living doing what I love doing, whether it's been starting as a magician or whether it's been in comedy or as a writer. So I've been very fortunate that way. And that's why I'm really love giving that away. You know, I love going on Insta Live and helping other people. Like, how do I make a living being creative? Because I think that's what people really want to do. And I've been able to do it. I mean, this blouse I'm wearing cost me like 3 jokes. the house I'm living in Venice Beach cost me 1,000,000 jokes. So there you go.
What's your favorite thing that you do? And we need to mention that you're also, like Rita said earlier, a motivational speaker. So of all the things that you do, all the hats that you wear, what is your favorite? What do you feel most passionate about?
Snowboarding.
Oh, well, there's another thing.
I'm a snowboarder. I'm an old senior snowboarder. They call us grays on trays, by the way.
Okay.
That's what they do call us. I love the thing about work is even if you are being creative and doing it, there's always a lot of stress attached with it. But I really do love this. I didn't know that there was an occupation that people actually paid you to go out and like give advice in a funny way. Like corporations. I don't know. Are you in the corporate market? Have you ever?
No, not at all.
Corporate meeting? Well,
yeah. I've had people come and talk things, different things. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you've ever had a corporate job, they have these meetings and I swear you just want to poke your eyes out with a pencil. And now for slide 152 of my PowerPoint. And so they hire, I didn't know this was a job. I have to tell you, Ralph, Rita, I didn't know this was a job, that they actually hire people to come in and give a message, but funny. And as a comic, you know, you're used to coming out there and, well, we'll give you a hamburger if you tell some joke. You know what I mean? It's like, and you got to do like 152 shows a week. And this corporate gig is, oh, we'll fly you first class. You'll come here and we'll split you up in the Four Seasons.
It's Judy, really let's be really clear, awesome. Because you're not just making people laugh. You're also inspiring people.
Yes.
Yes. Because I've never been just happy with just making people laugh. I don't know why. I just don't. I like when I'm finished with my gig that people laughed a lot. So there's a lot of pish on the floor, but they're also crying. So they're moved. They're touched.
Yeah.
They're really touched. And I noticed, like as a comic, you know, you do a gig and people, oh, you're funny. Hey, I got one for you. Listen to this. But when you touch people afterwards, they go, I got to hug you. I got to touch you. I'm not that crazy about, but especially during COVID, but people want to be close to you. They want to share with you. They, that they've been affected. And I really, really like that because, you know, it feels like I'm finally doing some good in the world.
Judy, I want to ask you, you know, being of the Jewish faith,
I was Jewish.
Well, you know, it says so in your bio. So, you know what? I have to be really honest about that. But you know what? In the Jewish faith, there are so many really, really funny people. Why is that? Are a lot of comedians?
I know.
What's the link?
It's so surprising that we just have a wailing wall. We really should have a laughing wall with all.
But you have a lot of material, I imagine.
Yes. Well, we all have a lot of material, right, Rita? I mean, I've always been a person who found like when you laugh at a problem, it decreases in size, right? And I, even when I was just a little kid, I mean, when my parents were screaming and yelling in this crazy Jewish home, I grew up down the block from El Coyote's in West Hollywood. And everybody was yelling and screaming. I remember thinking my first joke, which I think was, oh my God, it's like we have a wailing wall in our living room. And what happens when you have a problem or you're a child and you feel things are out of control? And that's what my play is about. My really out of control family dealing with things that were far too difficult for any of us to deal with. Is that when you can laugh at a problem, you know, it just makes it manageable. And that's why I think they say comedy is like tragedy plus time, you know? It's mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to look at life. It's like you're not in a miserable marriage, you know, it's comedy material.
Right. So sometimes it eases it too for yourself. If you laugh at it, because it's like you can't believe it, this really happened sometimes. And it's
and you need that.
I also want to say that, you know, that was a beautiful segue into talking about your play, Death-Defying Escape.
Yes.
What is the death-defying escape? What are you escaping from, Judy?
Well, we all have secrets, and certainly magicians have a lot of secrets. And in this play, you know, I realized that I was a child magician and actually took it into adulthood and was traveling with huge props. I was doing escape from a garbage can. Until one day my tricks didn't show up and hey, I don't care. Your tricks didn't show up. You're going on, little girl, you're going on. And that's when I became a comic because otherwise I thought they were going to shoot me. But I really had this desire growing up with a severely disabled sister. My sister Marcia had what's called as spastic cerebral palsy. And the entire family crumbled over this and certain things that happened that you'll have to, you know, I know it doesn't sound like a comedy, but it really is. And I watched my mother fall apart. And so I really, when I saw a magic show, I went, you know, I want to do that. I don't want to be the friggin' assistant. I don't want to be the one, you know, jumping into the boxes, being sawed in half and clean up all the rabbit shit. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be the magician because I wanted the power not to saw women in half, but to put them back together. I want to put my mother back together. I want to make my father disappear. And I really dreamed every night after I saw this magic show of levitating my sister Marcia out of her wheelchair and that she would walk and that I would have the power. Now, a lot of kids dream about this shit, but I actually went to the library and went, how can I learn how to do this?
Wow.
Did you lift your mother out of that? Or do we need to see the play to find that out?
Well, you know, she became obsessed with me. I mean, she kept trying, like, I want someone in this family to succeed. You need to be famous. And she kept trying to, like, ballet lessons and, you know, a lesbian doing ballet. I mean, I don't mean to stereotype, but at the time I was too fat to fit in a tutu. My tutu was a tweety. I'm just saying. And when she saw that I could do something, she had been a dancer. She became alive again. And she became obsessed. And it's a double-edged sword when you're trying to make your parents happy, you know. So anyway,
it's that. It's a big burden on a child.
Well, they all want us to succeed. Yeah. I think they all want us to succeed, you know, to do better than them. And then it kind of helped your mother focus on something else too. Your career.
She became you know, my biggest fan, and we were close, and she died rather young, and you know, we never get over this. And I just became obsessed with writing this story of how to escape, because my belief, and this is what the play is about, because it's about my current relationship as well, is that we really can't really surrender to love in our life until we can really deal with all those things that we really need to escape from. You know, this pain of the past, this fear of being hurt, this, you know, all of this that has happened. And, you know, when you get older, I mean, a lot of us just harden up and get very cranky. I think getting older is, you know, it's like pouring Miracle-Gro on your defects. They just get worse and worse. And I just think that what I wanted to do is to write this story to not only entertain people with amazing magic tricks, where I will actually completely vanish on stage, and it's a small, intimate audience. So it's going to be like, what?
Wow.
WTF, what is going on here? And I also wanted to give people a lot of humor, but mostly I wanted to give people hope. Hope that you can always, that you don't give up, you know, that no matter what has happened to you, no matter what maybe childhood trauma you're dealing with, that you can find love no matter what your age.
Now, is it a one woman show, or you have two other people that are also in the show?
So I guess you can't say one woman show.
No, well, I wasn't sure. Actors. No, well, I wasn't sure if because and then I just for clarification for me, because it shows you, and then I see there's two other people. Are they featuring? Are they part of the entire play, or are they?
Well,
they're part of your magic act.
It's kind of a unique sort of thing where they play an assortment of characters that I encountered through the years, from playing, you know, a young Canadian magician, Doug Henning, to my father, to my mother, to also we have Lindsay LaRose, who's a fantastic actress. She plays my love interest in the play. Yes, there is steamy lesbian love in this play. I know, Ralph, you're so excited about that. I can see it in your face.
I love love.
Love is love.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so they played different characters to you.
They come and they play, and they switch characters and play different characters. So there's three of us telling this story. And it's based on, you know, finding love in my 60s with someone in her late 20s, considerably younger than me, dealing with a lot of humor from that, the surprise of that. I mean, it's really weird because, you know, I used to make fun of men who dated younger women. I wasn't looking for this, and this happened.
It found you.
And we found the love of our lives. And what happens when you find the love of your life, you know, that doesn't look like it should be. I mean, I'm always upsetting people, whether just being a lesbian, and now it's an age gap love. And, you know,
love is love. Yeah.
Find that the people really respond to you differently when they find out the age of your partner?
What do you mean when they find out? You mean when we go into a restaurant and is this your daughter?
Yes, I guess.
Is this your daughter? Is this your mother? Is this your daughter? I mean, people do not accept it. It just messes with their heads. People always assume, and they always have to ask us. And so there we are, like at the music center, having some drinks before seeing the ballet. And this guy goes, oh, is this your daughter? And I finally say, no, she's my lover. And then he says, oh no, she has to be your daughter. I said, what sick mother would joke about her daughter being her lover?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he goes, yeah, it's like, wow. So even other gay people will go, what the hell is that? So anyway.
You know what, as a man, that's so incredibly common that men get involved with people younger. So certainly it's not anything that is surprising or shocking to us.
Oh, that's true. But I have to say, she's from a very wealthy family, much wealthier than me. And it's like, people would always assume that, you know, there's, you know, bank involved and that kind of stuff. And it's just not the place. Oh.
Are you with her for her youth or for her money?
Let me think.
I just want to know who pays the check.
I have to say, there are those power dynamics that go on in relationships, and all relationships you have to deal with in terms of power, and certainly with age and certainly with financial things. And I think that is, you know, something that all couples have to deal with, how they work that out. And I think it's one of the most difficult things to work out in a relationship.
And you talk about that in the play.
Oh, the play jumps, it's written for an audience because, you know, everybody is OCD and ADD now.
Right.
So it's really written a bit like that old movie Memento, of a back and forth in time to how I met my partner. Okay. And then all the things building up that get in the way of love, the past, until at the end, I truly have to escape. The metaphor for that is, there's this chair on stage, huge chair with straps on it. And this chair was used for my sister, Marcia, to keep her upright. So in the chair, I actually get tied to the chair, and I won't tell you what happens because you have to come see the play.
Okay. Well, they say it is a dark comedy. Now, you can see the play in person or you can see it online.
Yes. I have a huge following in India and Brazil for some reason. No, I wrote this book called The Comedy Bible, which has become the sort of textbook for all stand-up comics. And it's selling in Russia, China, Taiwan, all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of readers, and I want to show, and so I wanted to make it streaming because I wanted to make it available to them. And so we're doing it live at the Hudson Theater, which is a very like intimate experience in a small theater. And then we're also streaming it, so it can be available to all people.
How do they find out about it? How do they get the link to watch it online?
Well, deathdefineescape.com is the website, and it's at the Hudson Theater. It's Death Define Escape. We open in like 3 weeks. April 2nd is opening. There's previews before, and I just can't wait for people to see it, because I just know that it will really resonate, and people go, wow, escape is possible from any kind of pain, any kind of past trauma, and we can open our hearts up to love.
Now, it's playing from April 2nd through May 8th. Mm-hmm. Now, is this just on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
No, it's just Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
And will it be stored online so that if somebody wanted to see it on a Tuesday, say at noon, that they could see it, or do you have to see it? Is it alive? Is it alive? Well, you know.
Well, because if you can't see it, live,
you can't be there on the weekend. Yes. Is it possible?
Yeah. What, everybody, when they have a streaming ticket, they could, you know, have the link available to them for 48 hours and watch them when they want to.
Great.
Okay. We have to ask these questions because there's people like me. So, well, I missed it. Can I still see it? Because people ask.
100%. Yeah.
Awesome.
People in Palm Springs can just stream it.
Yeah. It's a little hard for us to get out there, even though we're in the same timeline.
Yes.
You know what, Judy, I think what you said is so brilliant that this is how I took it, is that humor can get us through basically any situation if we can just laugh a little bit. Isn't that kind of what you're saying? And isn't that what you're kind of speaking about here in the play?
Yes, because a lot of people think comics are like just funny all the time. No, we take the things that have happened to us and go, where is the joke? How do I find the joke in this? I mean, because otherwise we're crying, and it's so much better to laugh. And I'm not, and of course, a lot of us are like avoiding feeling the tears. And you have to go through that as well. But
and a lot of people are going through that too with you that have had that experience.
It's a challenge. Yeah. I think comedy, the way I do comedy, is transformational. You know, people who do comedy start off with like, oh, I'm going to do, butt jokes, and I'm going to do Viagra or whatever. It's a bit hack. I've never been interested in that. My challenge is give me something unfunny. Something that you just can't laugh at, and let me figure out a way, Anne Frank, let's do something funny about it. Right? I mean, it's like
how do you make something funny about Anne Frank? Well, that is a challenge.
I would think, because I was thinking about that the other day, because I heard they were doing Anne Frank the musical, and I'm going, what would those things be? A tap dance going, shh, don't dance so loud, you're going to hear us. Be quiet, the Nazis are coming. All right. I made you laugh. So okay, there you go. I made you laugh. Uh-huh.
You did make us laugh. Visualizing it's just okay. It's
almost uh-huh. There's always a way.
Yes.
To frame something, no matter what, if it's, growing up with your disabled sister, I mean, you go like, okay, what are the advantages? Well, she was like a captive audience, because no matter how bad my jokes were, she couldn't leave. So,
ba-dum-bump.
All right. Hey, well, Judy, thank you for joining us here at the Out Agenda. It's, looking forward to seeing your magic act. I love magic. So,
Wonderful. I can't wait for you to see it.
Once again, let's go through how people see it, where it's going to be, and how long it's running.
Yeah, it's like, my name's Judy Carter. You can always go to my site, but it's deathdefineescape.com. And you just go there and you can see who's in it. You can see some of my old magic tricks of me having a male assistant in a gold lamé bikini. And I know some of you guys will like to look at
that sounds interesting. Stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And see some of my old stuff of sawing a man in half. And deathdefineescape.com. And it's at the Hudson Theater in Hollywood.
And running from when to when?
April 2nd to May 8th.
Right.
Great.
Thank you.
All right, Judy. Thank you so much. You know, you came in, you brightened up our day. And thank you enough for that. We all need a little bit of that right now.
I did. Yeah, I had a rough day. So thank you so much.
Oh, I'm glad. Yeah. It's so great talking to other homosexuals.
God, Judy, we love you already. That's thank great. You. Thanks all so right. much.
Thank you, Rita and Ralph.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Once again, we were talking to actress, writer, magician, Judy Carter. And we want to hear from you. We want to know what kind of stories and interviews you'd like to hear.
Like us on our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, or email us at theoutagenda@gmail.com. I'm Rita Gonzalez.
And I'm Ralph Radabaugh. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful week.
And remember that being out is the first step to being equal. Now stay tuned for This Way Out.